I'm Bobby Connor for South Carolina Public Radio with Health Focus here at the remote studio for the Medical University of South Carolina in Charleston. Obstructive sleep apnea is a condition in which individuals experience pauses in breathing during sleep. Dr. Chitra Lal is here to talk about the diagnosis and treatment of this condition. Dr. Lal is a professor of medicine, and she's a sleep medicine specialist in the Division of Pulmonary Critical Care, Allergy, and Sleep Medicine at MUSC. Dr. Lal, tell us about obstructive sleep apnea.
So as you said, obstructive sleep apnea is pauses in breathing when one sleeps. The upper airway tends to collapse repetitively during sleep in some individuals, and that can cause decrease in airflow and thereby drop in oxygen level when one is sleeping. And that happens because of obstruction of the upper airway, which is called obstructive sleep apnea.
What are the symptoms of this condition?
The typical symptoms of obstructive sleep apnea could include daytime sleepiness, daytime fatigue. Snoring is a very common symptom. Waking up frequently in the night. These symptoms should basically trigger evaluation for sleep apnea. And symptoms of sleep apnea can actually happen at any age.
And how is this condition diagnosed then?
We basically need a sleep study to make a diagnosis of obstructive sleep apnea. And there are two ways to do a sleep study. It could either be done in the sleep lab, which is the gold standard, which is much more sensitive, or it could be done at home, which is also a fairly good test for young, healthy individuals who don't have any underlying cardiac or pulmonary disease or any significant comorbid conditions. Home sleep testing is a fairly good test with the caveat that it does have a false negative rate of about 15 to 20%. So if the home sleep test shows sleep apnea, we have a diagnosis. But if it's negative, you know, in many cases, we have to follow that with the lab test.
And if someone is diagnosed with sleep apnea, what's the treatment?
The treatment options include continuous positive airway pressure or CPAP, which is basically the mask and the machine which people wear when they sleep, when they have sleep apnea. So that is the most effective treatment. It's non-invasive and, you know, it works pretty well in about 95% of the patients. There are also oral appliances which people can wear, and these are custom fitted by a dentist. So this is not something that one can buy over the counter, but it has to be custom fitted by a dentist for each individual patient. These work about 55 to 60% of the time. And then there's also upper airway surgery, which is somewhat less effective, about 40 to 45% effective for sleep apnea when we talk of minor surgeries. And there's a relatively new treatment called hypoglossal nerve stimulation, which is a neurostimulator which is implanted in the chest wall. This works about 85% of the time and could be an alternative to CPAP for moderate to severe sleep apnea.
Dr. Lal, is there anything individuals can do to help manage this disorder as far as lifestyle changes or anything along those lines?
To decrease the risk of sleep apnea, you know, a healthy lifestyle, trying to maintain an optimal body weight, that would help for sure. And it has been shown that sleeping on one's back tends to make sleep apnea and snoring worse. So avoiding sleeping on the back does help to decrease the severity of sleep apnea and also snoring.
Dr. Lal, thanks for this information about obstructive sleep apnea.
Thank you, Bobby.
From the remote studio for the Medical University of South Carolina in Charleston, I'm Bobby Connor for South Carolina Public Radio.